So I just want to accentuate the announcements that we had for today. Next weekend is Corpus Christi Sunday. It's also the beginning of the Eucharistic revival. The bishops of our nation, the USCCB, has marked that day as the beginning of a three-year revival. I have no idea what they're going to do yet, but I think a lot of it's going to be things like Eucharistic processions, and also Eucharistic adoration is going to be a strong part of that. So we're already doing that, aren't we, on First Fridays? We did it all last summer on every Thursday. We did it this spring as well on First Fridays. But we're trying to help us all fall in love with that greatest of all devotions outside of the sacraments, Eucharistic adoration. So get ready for that. But so it launches nationwide this next Sunday on Corpus Christi, and they're asking, especially our bishop, that all parishes do a Eucharistic procession. So we'll be doing one here as well after that Mass. And I'm actually asking the 10:45 Mass to fold into this Mass. One, because we want everybody to partake in it, but two, it'll give us room after the 9:15 to do the procession and then a really nice social afterwards. I think next weekend we're going to begin our socials out on in Gracie's Cafe on the lawn. So lots of good stuff going on, especially I'm on vacation after the last Mass today. So you might notice we're down a lot of servers, and came to find out a couple months ago that that we were going to lose a lot of families to Family Land. They do a retreat in Family Land every year at this time. And so I knew I'd lose a lot of my servers. You're seeing we don't have 83 servers up here today. And that's where they are. They're at Family Land having their retreat. I went, huh, maybe I should do something like that. And then I looked at my calendar, realized, the church asks us priests to take 4 weeks if we could. They encourage us to do that. Retreat vacation. And I looked at my calendar. I haven't taken anything since last August. So I went, yikes. So I scheduled it for the time that I'm losing all my servers and a bunch of families and that who are at Family Land. So we're retreating together. So that just means I'm doing what I normally do, is that I'm just play a monk for a week. Everybody's different. I happen to be a person that I recharge by just shutting down. Just stop it. Okay, and I end up doing a lot of praying. I end up doing a lot of writing too, but I just need to stop. I need white space on my calendar for a week. I recharge, and then let's go get them again after that. So, and it just simply means too that no daily Mass is starting tomorrow through Saturday. So I actually take my time between the weekend Masses, so I'm not taking the weekend off either. So just the weekday. So that was really long-winded, wasn't it? Sorry. And so here we are at Trinity Sunday. They call this the preacher's nightmare, because what does the church teach about the Trinity? It's a mystery. Oh, thank you. But it is in a lot of ways. Of course, we know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I was looking at the commentaries on this weekend for the scripture, and geez, they were really trite and inane. I mean, one of the commentaries wanted to reflect on who's the patron saint of parks and forests. I go, wait a minute, it's Trinity Sunday. What? So it was a challenge to get any meat or substance from the commentaries. So I just prayed, and listen, I'm just gonna share. I've had training. I'm probably like a dissertation short of a doctorate in theology. So there's that. 34 years of priest. A relationship with God for all my life. And so I'm just going to tell you what I think the Trinity is. And the other reason that it's the preacher's nightmare is because sometimes when you speak about the Trinity, oh, you just did heresy there. Well, hopefully I don't, okay? But because it's a mystery. Anyway, so the Father. I mean, if you've been listening to me preach in weeks, months, maybe even years, I pulled into the Father a lot of the three persons of the Trinity. And I've actually gone so close that I know there's that ancient word Abba, but in our modern times that translates to Dad. You might have heard me say, I used to say Daddy, but that's what a little kid says. An adult says Dad. But it's a special kind of relationship where you just love dad so much, and you feel so proud to be his son for me, and you want him to be proud of me. I want him to be proud of me. And so you get into that mode, if you will, where it's a true love relationship, and you look for dad. So what do God the Father is a perfect dad, a perfect father, but what do good dads do? They try to draw the best out of us, okay? That's what good dads do. What is the very best of who you are? God created you, okay? What do you got? Let's bring that out. Let's let it shine. Let's live the best of who we are. That's what good dads do. And God's a perfect dad, so that's what he's doing. And so he'll use dad tactics. Dads usually start with praising or even rewarding good behavior. Okay, that was good. Here's a buck or whatever. You know, but some way to let the person know, you know, that's good. Let's stick with that. Let's build on that. And sometimes dads have to resort to corporal punishment or ways in which you kind of shake the person to say, wait a minute, that's the wrong direction. That's a dangerous direction. You don't want to go that direction. And maybe you try to talk to them first. But at some point, maybe you got to discipline them a little bit. That's a good dad. And God our Father is a perfect dad. He'll do that too, okay? He'll let us experience affliction in order that we become stronger. What was that second reading? It was beautiful. Not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that he has given to us. We don't want, or good dads don't want, their children to live a life of depression, sadness, meaningless, purposelessness. No, they want them to live in hope, which brings love and joy into their lives. That heart-pounding life, right? Where you wake up in the morning, what's it gonna be today? How's God gonna call me to make an impact on the world today? There's where your meaning and purpose comes from. We were created in God's likeness. We're his children. That's our mission, to impact the world, to change the world by who we are, by what we do, by what we say, by how we think, by the imitation of God that brings invitation to other souls. And so God is trying to instill that in us, to draw out proven character, it says. God's amazing. Wait, here's how amazing he is. He sent his son in the form of a human to show us. You know, there's so many things to learn by what Jesus says and does. But I always go to how quick he was to forgive anybody, to extend his mercy. You know, he didn't condemn, right? You hear the expression, don't judge me. Well, I think we're supposed to help steer people in the right direction. So yeah, if you're going the wrong direction, I want to help you with that. But I think what they actually mean by don't judge me is don't condemn me. Don't write me off. Don't say because of what I'm doing or even what I did, you know, takes me out. Look what Jesus would do. He would take people. Peter, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Three times. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have anything to do with that guy. Jesus makes him our Pope. I think to prove a point. He abandoned me, my darkest hour. I'm going to make him my Pope. Because Peter came to his senses. Peter asked for his mercy. Remember, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Three times. Just to make sure we know what we're talking about here, Peter. You denied me three times before that cock crowed. I knew you were going to do it. Let's wipe the slate clean. Let's start fresh. Isn't that amazing? The world and the devil is into writing people off. Look what you did when you were 17 or 14 or whatever. Be gone. You're condemned for all eternity because of that mistake, not God. Isn't that amazing? Jesus taught us how to love, taught us morals and ethics and virtues and principles on which our nation was founded, that when we're strong in these, we're a force to be reckoned with. We can leave our keys in our cars when we're strong like those. When we're well connected to God. And so now we come to the third person of the Holy Trinity. What is the Holy Spirit? Depicted as a bird, a dove, much of the time. But that's just symbolic. It's a force. The Father's love for the Son is infinitely great. We can't even imagine how great it is. It's so great that it pulsates out. It radiates out across the whole planet. A force of love and power, supernatural power, that's granted to each one who does this. Bring it. I want that power. I want that love. That gets in you. And then what happens to you? You radiate that love to everyone you encounter. And you begin to witness miracles even, the supernatural power of God. There is such a thing. The power of the Holy Spirit that transforms us into vessels of love. What is that? It's selflessness. Boil it all down. Don't worry about me. What do you need? Love says. Love is totally concerned, dedicated to wanting to help people, to draw them up. Because why? We're children of God. We were created in His image. That's what God does. Draws the best out of us, wants us to live in peace and joy and love. So, if we got God, the Holy Spirit in us, that's what we want, isn't it? With everyone around us. I always tell us too, because frankly, you're amazing, okay? I'm going to give you a big head here. And you are wonderful vessels of love. But I think, too, we kind of live in a bubble here, too, all right? You're a remnant. But we got to be careful about that bubble because we're kind of taking care of our own and kind of do. You look outside this bubble. Wow. Depression. Sadness. Suicide. Divorce. Every kind of sin that betrays God has become normalized in our time. We're killing babies, for goodness sakes. We have to get filled with the power of God, that love that radiates out from Father and Son, and
is aimed right at us. If we just go like that, come in. Make me what you are. That vessel of love, selflessness. Yes, enjoy the creature comforts. I'm going to spend the next week enjoying my creature comforts. Okay? Yes, God wants you to enjoy his blessings. Don't make them our gods, though, to the expense of watching souls that are destined for hell for all eternity. Because, as I always like to say, half jokingly, because we got to go shopping and golfing. Where's the love? There might be religious duty in there someplace. Where's the love? That's what the power of the Holy Spirit is. We're actually reaching out, praying at God with our first Fridays that we're doing. Remember I told you I met with Cardinal Burke. He loves that model of what we're doing. Adoration together. Confession. Come on home. Wipe the slate clean. Let's do this thing. And then, instead of racing for our cars, after we do our duty, we stop. And we love on each other. And we build each other up. I got a theology degree. I got 34 years of priesthood. I got a relationship with God. That's what I think the Holy Trinity is. Please stand. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,